Oh, let's lift up Jesus in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody love Jesus? Does anybody love Jesus? Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. John the Revelator was saying, I saw a number that no man could number, and they were saying, hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise given unless you give your life. And when you give your life, you give all to the one who made us over again. His name is Jesus. I'm so grateful to be teaching this semester, and our forwarding pastor is Kevin Harney. He is the senior pastor of Corinth Reformed Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we are dealing with the intimacy of Jesus Christ, the miracle worker. He's passing by this afternoon, the miracle worker. Dr. Kearney dealt with us out of the book of John. Book of John, the intimacy, the closeness. Gentlemen, in being witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't be couch potatoes. And oftentimes he breaches our comfort zone and brings us to a place where we will meet our brother just where he is. After all, we are all made in the likeness and image of God. And those of you who have been born of the water and the Spirit and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have become the people of God. And so the Lord is saying, hold up! Amen. In Kokomo, Indiana, he's bringing us from all types and all different walks of life and denominations and organizations that we might know that this Jesus Christ is for all the people. He's for all the people. We're in the fourth chapter of John. For those of us in the old school, we used to call it St. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But John. And we're reading in the New International Version, which is kind of new for me too. Dealing with the Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well. Verse number 4. Now he had go through Samaria, so he came down to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. And it was about noon. King James Version says the sixth hour, about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Has anybody drunk the living water? Then she humbles herself and says, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Now I need to talk about, she's got a pitcher in her hand. But her prejudice was so deep that the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealing with them, to the fact that if you had a utensil, a fork, and the Jew had, or the Samaritan had a pitcher, it was unlawful for you to drink from the Samaritan's pitcher, even though you were thirsty and thirsting to death. That's how deep prejudice ran with them. And I look over our city today, and I come to talk to you about the brokenness that we have come to know and how the Lord is stretching us. He's stretching our community. We're going from neighborhood to neighborhood, winning the lost for Christ. Somebody say amen. We're not afraid, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We are not crazy because we believe on the only begotten Son of God. Not crazy. And I look and I see I got a mirror here. It's a broken mirror. It's in pieces. Some of our dreams have gone in pieces. Some of us have been broken by life circumstances. Broken mirror. It's a distortion. Oh, you can make out the image. I can still see me in it. But it's a broken mirror. Many of our life and our circumstances in life has caused us to be a broken mirror. Broken on the wheel of life and broken by the circumstances of life causes us to want to reach out and find something bigger than us. And I have something to tell you today, straight from heaven. The thing that is absent from our society is peace. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In the absence of peace, there is chaos and turmoil and unrest everywhere. And I heard Brother Tim Nolan tell us that you have become the leaders. And so we don't have to embrace chaos, and we don't have to embrace confusion, and we don't have to embrace unrest, because we have become the children of God. And the thing that we need to give back to the world is the peace that we now have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother says on last week, I call him Dr. Dick Sanborn. He says in St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't want to perish. I want to live forever somewhere. But if I'm not to perish, I have to embrace the one who gives life. And his name is Jesus Christ. St. John 3:16, for God loved us so much, he gave all of heaven when he gave his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, the woman at the well, like many of us, like to skirt issues. She did not really want to talk about herself, but she wanted to talk about whose well it was and how deep it was dug. And notice that most people would come to the well at early hours and draw water for their family all day long, but she comes at high noon. And she meets Jesus at the well, and he has nothing to draw water with. But after encountering Jesus, she keeps on talking about where to worship. Well, we worship right here at this mountain. We can't go over Jerusalem. They don't receive us and we don't receive them. We worship here in Samaria. Jesus said, keep on talking. He will allow you to talk and paint yourself in a corner. When you get tired of lying to yourself, he'll step in. Say, well, the one that you are married, you ain't married. It's the fifth one, and then the one you're with now, you're not married. You. And so, like most of us, when we come to the realization that we can't skirt issues any longer and we can't hide behind our mask, it comes to the place where the tears roll down her cheeks and lapped under her chin and fell to the ground because she had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Notice he wasn't at home. He was on the road doing the will of the Father who sent him. You got to go to the marketplace, gentlemen, and meet the people where they are. There are a whole lot of homeless people. Jesus was one. But we look down in the text this hour and we find that she leaves her pitcher, she leaves her bucket at the well, and runs to tell the men everywhere that this Jesus exposed her and told her all that she had ever done. He'll give you a drink that won't never, amen, cause you to thirst again. You can face terminal cancers and you can face terminal illnesses. And with Jesus Christ, you have peace. And I want you to understand that we have peace now. We can face death because we got to have life. Romans 5 and 1, we embrace our faith. We are justified by faith and now have peace with God through who? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Simple little piece of scripture written to the Romans. And you got to understand, we're in Rome now. The whole total world is in Rome now. We have taken Jesus and put him there and put other things on the throne that shouldn't be there. And now the Lord is giving us another chance. He is saying to huddle. It is time for us to huddle up. And when we come together, we minister to the people, not chaos, not confusion, but peace. I look and I see that everybody got a rock. They go on defense. They carry a rock, this rock of confusion that's in their personal life, this rock of chaotic conditions that's all around them. They carry it because they may have to throw it at somebody. They may have to accuse somebody just for a moment of time to get that off of you. You feel good about, like, I got to rock somebody else out. The rock is in people's hands as we speak. But as we look in the text today, we find a very real truth in the last and the only one that can deliver us. We find in chapter 4 a very real truth, a very real truth on the reason why we can pray for the sick and they recover. Why we can sit here in this gymnasium and send the word across the distance and heal. It's a fundamentally sound truth that Jesus Christ did himself. I'm talking about the noble man. In the latter part of the chapter, in the 43rd verse, it says, "And after 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there." See, when you do good, it's like an underground thing. It begins to spread, and they begin to know who you are. They're looking for peace. Kokomo is looking for peace. People in America are looking for peace. And they can't find peace because they're involved with this rock. They are so involved with the rock of offense and offending that they refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. It was a time when the church took care of the poor. Before the 19th, in the late 30s and late 40s, the CC camps, before the federal government took charge, the church wasn't lazy, and the church took care of the brokenness of mankind. The church took care of the sick, the hospitals, the churches, amen, developed. Notre Dame, all the rest of the institutions. It was the church, but the church went to sleep and let somebody else do the job. And this is why God is having us huddle up in one place. This is his world, and he's more than able to redeem his world back to himself. As I sit at the table 4 weeks ago with Brother Andy Hardy and Brother Corbin, this truth will ring out. We sit at that table, which you will be doing in the next few minutes, and you make prayer requests. My daughter of 23 years of age had cancer growth in the back of her neck. She hadn't walked in 3 weeks, and they couldn't find out why. She told me, called me, after I talked to Brother Stan Weber, 2:30 in the afternoon. I took my time. They prayed here at the table at 1 o'clock. I called down in Indianapolis, and she called, and she says back to me, "Dad, the tumor is not cancerous." And she said, "Something told me to get up and move."
And when she got up and moved her leg, she said, Dad, she told me to march. Told me to march. She said, my leg popped back in place. And the pain subsided. And just last Thursday, she was at my house in Kokomo. Hey! Let me say, we don't ravel and revel and get glory just in the temporal blessings. We get, amen, to know the Lord Jesus Christ on an intimate level if he don't heal me. We get to know him if he doesn't deliver me today. But I won't deny him. I won't give him up because he saved me from the grave. Death, hell, and the grave has been overcome if I believe on Jesus the Christ. I need to drop this rock. When I come into knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I need to drop the rock of offending and drop this rock of confusion. I don't need it any longer. In the text, we find that once more in the 46th verse of the 4th chapter, once more he visited Cana in Galilee where he had turned the water into wine. That was the first great miracle. Now, I'm responsible for 7 of them, but I'm just going to deal with the second one today. And I got to thinking about the properties. Oh, my God. The properties of water. It takes 2 parts of hydrogen to make water. Am I right? Am I in the room? H2O. Am I in the room? Hydrogen, H2O. Hydrogen is highly volatile. It will blow up. Oxygen, if you be around it and bring something that is flammable, it will blow up. But how can a God take 2 elements that are highly volatile and will blow up and put them together and make water? I don't understand that. So if he can do that, he can surely turn water into wine at a wedding feast. Ah, you ever thought about that? He can do anything he wants to do. He don't have to have a hydrogen bomb drop on any continent. He's got tornadoes, he's got earthquakes strategically placed and volcanoes strategically placed around the globe. And if he went, he could cause the water to evaporate and the sky to catch on fire. He don't need us. We need him. Then nobody gonna take his world. The poor gentleman, May the 21st of this year, who told us that the world was gonna come to the end, and people got on board with that. They don't know what the Word of God said. And if they did not know what the Word of God said, it's not their fault, it's our fault. And God has said, hold up! They don't know because we don't tell them. We have to tell them now. We have to show them. We have to live a life that's set aside that they might know who we are in Christ. Well, he heals them. Says in the 48th verse, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. And then in the 50th verse, Jesus says, your son will live. Now, I want you to understand this was a man of means. He was financially set. He had everything he needed in his hand. He was a royal child of the kingdom of this world. But he could not heal his son. So he goes to Jesus the Christ, who was a prince in heaven, but he was a pauper on earth, born in a barn among stable angels. Animals, and he grows up to be the Messiah, the one who redeems us from ourselves. He comes to give peace, not chaos. If you are dealing with people of chaos, flee from them. They're not of God. You need to get away from them. They ain't offering no peace. Everything come out of their mouth is gossip. Turmoil. You got them in your church. Then you tell them, you need to stop it now. You got them in the street corner. You got them in the supermarket. Everybody is in turmoil. They're troubled. And you have the answer. Bring them peace. We look down here and the royal officer says, sir, come down before my child. He humbles himself. He comes out of his financial blessings. See, these things are temporal. Because we got to live somewhere forever. Is that true? Either we're going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. So we need to work on what is really important. So the man humbles himself and says, "Sir, my child's going to die." He comes off of who he is and his wealth and his finance and his goodness. Guess what? Some of us in this room is just one paycheck away from being unemployed or homeless. And so our hope is not in the paycheck. Our hope is in the Jesus, the Christ. So he humbles himself. And at the word of Jesus, he's healed. So what does Jesus do? He sends his word across the distance. He doesn't leave the gymnasium, but he sends his word across the distance. And by his word, he heals them. And this is a symbolic, beautiful gift that God has given all of you, that you can go to St. Joe Hospital and pray for the sick, and they will recover. But a greater than the recovering and the temporal blessing, if you offer them salvation through Jesus the Christ. It's a bigger thing. It's a bigger thing. Well, as we exit this beautiful place today, we find that it's not the man in the mirror. It's not the man in the mirror, but it is the miracle that is in the mirror. They asked me to bring to you the miracle worker. Well, there are seven miracles in that text. The eighth being where he feeds them by telling them to cast your net on the other side. This is a resurrected Savior that's telling men in this life, do what I say and you'll get a blessing. But we need more than a blessing. We need a turnaround. And that's why we serve the turnaround God. He will turn around the things that are negative in your life if you let him. I remember Brother Mike telling us the other day, Michael Bulger tells us that not, we're more than just Christian, we're believers. We believe that he can do anything but fail. I remember the dynamic voice of John Tice telling us we need to know what the Word say about us. We need to know about what the Word is saying about the miracle. Because guess what, gentlemen? We have become the worked out miracle. We are worked out miracles. And God is allowing us to tell the world wherever we go that Jesus is the Savior. Tell the people in your prayers, as you take care of the business of God, he will take care of your personal business. Drop the rock of offending. Drop the rock of confusion. Drop the rock of, amen, chaos. Drop the rock of unrest. Drop this rock and embrace the rock. God bless you. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hey! Make some noise up in here. Glory! I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Look at somebody and say, huddle up. Huddle up. As we take you, y'all can sit there for a moment. But I want to say this to you. You in the room that have temporal and have terminal situations in your personal life, I want to say this to you. It's important now that you be Christian. It's important now that you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not hard. If you embrace your faith, what is your faith? Your faith in Jesus Christ, the one who rose from the dead. If you embrace him, what does he say in Romans 5 and 1? You now have peace with God. If I should go home tomorrow, if a jet airliner would fall on my house tonight, I have peace with God. If the winter rose of Indiana would claim my life, tell them that I have peace with God. How did you get peace with God, gentlemen? You got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done what I could do. I know it's not enough. Lord, your spirit can go where I can't go. And I'm praying now, Lord, that your tender mercy be extended to these great men who are leaders, oh God, in this, oh God, community. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch the young men as they make decisions in their life, that you would send them, oh God, the wife that is the rib from their side. I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, recognizing and knowing one thing, there's something you will not do, you can't lie, and your word is true. You said that we are overcomers by our testimony in the blood of the Lamb. We realize, Lord, that you was once dead, but now you live. And we give you praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. For, oh God, this session, continue to bless these great men. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say it.